This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal, and I'm working from home, as are many people, including tech companies in Silicon Valley. In fact, they were some of the first employers to take their operations online because of the coronavirus. As the rest of the country now prepares to follow their lead or is already doing that, Rob Copeland, our reporter, will tell us how those tech companies did it and how we can avoid their mistakes. But first, let's check out some headlines. France's competition authority hit Apple with a $1.23 billion fine on Monday, accusing the company of orchestrating a, quote, distribution cartel with wholesalers. France says that Apple and two wholesalers prevented distributors from competing with each other and dictated prices to retailers. It's the largest antitrust fine that France has ever issued against a single company, and it comes after nearly a decade of investigation. Apple says the decision violates legal precedent and that they will appeal in court. To keep up with increased demand for delivery because of the coronavirus, Amazon says it's planning to hire an additional 100,000 warehouse employees in the U.S. The e-commerce giant also says that it will be raising pay for workers in fulfillment centers in the U.S., Canada, and Europe by $2 an hour through April. The announcement comes as most retailers are shutting down their physical stores and laying off employees as cities clamp down on gatherings in public places. But for those companies who can, they're sending their employees to work at home. But for the people who are going home to work, it may be a bit of a new experience. You may be running into some technical roadblocks. I know we have. Lucky for you, we have our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, with us to help out. Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
So you're working from home. I'm working from home. A lot of people are working from home. And I know one of the things that you've been looking at is how people are able to answer those work calls when they're at home, especially if they don't have great cell service. What's your tip?
Yeah. So if your new home office has pretty crappy cellular service, you can actually use your home Wi-Fi network to make phone calls instead of using your cellular network. But the big thing here is you actually can use your regular phone number, the phone number you get from your cellular carrier. And this setting is built into the iPhone and to Android phones. You just go into the settings and you can find it. We can do it all together right now if you've got an iPhone, because I've got an iPhone. You want to go to settings, you want to click on cellular, and then you see their Wi-Fi calling, and you want to turn that on. And all of the major U.S. carriers support this. Most likely your plan supports this completely for free, but please check, because I do not want to get in trouble if you have a bill of like $1,000 next month. I will not be able to pay that, and nor would the Wall Street Journal, I don't think. The caller on the other end will have no idea that it's being routed over Wi-Fi. In fact, sometimes I think it sounds better than it does over a cellular network.
Amazing. I know that one of the things that we're doing a lot is video chats, and I'm wondering if you have any tips for that, because I will say that mine don't always look as great as I wish they did.
Well, that may be something you need to work on personally in terms of your presence, but I think you look great. I assume you look great. I'm not really looking at you right now since we're on a podcast.
I appreciate it.
But yes, we definitely want to be thinking of a couple of things in terms of positioning the webcam when you're doing these big group video chats or even just one-on-one video chats. My number one piece of advice is to keep a light source on your face and try to avoid sitting with a big bright window behind you. You can kind of maneuver it to make the window behind you work, but it's always best if you have another light source sort of in front of that laptop or in front of that webcam to sort of be shining the light on your face. You also want to frame your head and shoulders in the shot. You look really small when you have the webcam sort of facing up and you are in the bottom half of the frame. The other thing that I see often a lot is that the camera lens may be shooting up or down on you, and nobody, well, mostly your chin doesn't like that, because you can have a couple of chins if that happens to you. So you want to put your camera lens at or above eye level. You can use a cardboard box to sort of prop up your laptop if you do that safely. Again, do not want to be fined if you break your laptop. Lastly, a lot of times the smudginess or like the graininess of the call can actually just be that your webcam is dirty or smudgy. It may not actually be the internet connection. So you want to get a microfiber cloth or some sort of wipe that's not too abrasive or harsh and wipe down the lens on your laptop or your webcam.
Fantastic. Those are great tips. Hey, I have an idea. You should join us every day and give us some tech tips on working from home.
Let me check my calendar for a second. My calendar says I will be sitting in my home office for the foreseeable future, never leaving again. So I would love to talk to you at any time, really call any time over Wi-Fi.
You know what? I bet a lot of people who are working from home for the first time have questions. Do you think that they could call in and ask their questions to you directly?
They can call me anytime, too. They can put this new tip into practice and call me over Wi-Fi at my new work from home hotline. Well, you won't actually be able to talk to me, but you can leave me a message. And that number is 314-635-0388.
Excellent. They could also email questions, right?
Yes. You can email me at joanna.stern@wsj.com, and I'll be answering questions on this very podcast every day, but also in our newsletters, the 10 Point and our What's News newsletters, and across the Wall Street Journal. If there's the Wall Street Journal, I will be there.
Fantastic. We're going to put that number and email right in the description in our podcast episode here. And you can call us and ask Joanna any of your questions, your tech questions. And you know what? You could also just tell us what it's been like for you, what kind of tech challenges you faced and maybe overcome working from home. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Can't wait to hear from everybody.
All right. After the break, reporter Rob Copeland will join us to tell us how Silicon Valley is faring as they attempt their work from home. That's next. Today, we are making tech news briefing from home, and all of the Wall Street Journal is working from home. And so we want to talk about working from home and the challenges that we are all faced with, and none more than the tech community. The San Francisco Bay Area was among the earliest regions in the U.S. to see cases of the coronavirus. And tech companies there were some of the first to ask employees to start working remotely to stop the spread of the virus. As more cases have been reported across the U.S., more companies are following suit. But Silicon Valley can give us some kind of indication of whether that transition is going to go smoothly or not. Our reporter, Rob Copeland, has been looking into this. We speak to him from his home and my home. Rob, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. All right. So, Rob, tell us a little bit more about how some of the major players in Silicon Valley have been adapting to working remotely. Who have they sent home? How are they adjusting their operations?
Sure. So the big tech companies in Silicon Valley are pretty much a week ahead of where the rest of the country is right now on work from home. So one of the first cases of coronavirus in corporate America was at an Amazon office in Seattle about 2 weeks ago. And after then, the big companies, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, even Apple, pretty quickly sent their staff home. And so we have, over the past week, been looking at what does that actually mean? We're talking about, we put the numbers together, we're talking about a million employees immediately sent home. And it will not surprise you that there have been some hiccups, but there's also been some pretty interesting ingenuity.
So what are some of the big challenges for them as they're moving their operations online?
Okay, so one of the big challenges is simply equipment. Even though these are tech companies, and even though they are used to conducting obviously everything on software, Google, for instance, has 119,000 full-time employees. Virtually all of them have now been ordered to work from home. So I spoke to a lot of Google employees, and they said, look, the company said, fill out this form and we'll send you work from home kits, you know, computers, monitors. But when 119,000 people ask for that in the middle of a national, what is turning out to be a national quarantine, you'll be unsurprised to learn a lot of it just didn't arrive. So what you saw was a lot of Google employees, even though the company said don't come in, since Google also said please work from home, people went in and they just started grabbing whatever they could from their office. So inside the Google offices, it sort of looks like a robbery, according to the people I've spoken to, in that things have been, you know, just monitors ripped out. People took their family photos. People were all the food at the snack bars. And it happened overnight. It's a bit end of days. You can understand why they did it, but you can also understand why Google might want them to, you know, pump the brakes.
So we're talking about work from home kits. But then once you get all that technology home, you have to be able to work from home. I mean, most tech companies have, internet services that are incredibly fast, probably much faster than people have in their own homes. How are they dealing with that?
Exactly. The internet is definitely slower. We've seen some big internet companies actually give away free upgrades to people who are working from home. We've spoken to tech companies who are giving their employees, say, $50 a month just to upgrade their equipment or to upgrade their speed so that that won't be a problem. And at a company like Apple, for instance, Apple is one of the most secretive companies in the Silicon Valley, maybe in all of corporate America. Apple is actually loosening their rules. They're allowing some of their employees to work on top secret projects from home. This is totally anathema to Apple's longtime culture.
Are we seeing any, I mean, I know it's only been a couple of weeks and we're going to be looking at this for the long haul, but are we seeing any impact on productivity so far?
Well, we're definitely seeing some impact on productivity. The question will be if it follows through and we see it in the economic numbers in a few weeks. But we have spoken to employees who have just spent the entire day trying to reach their boss. We've spoken to, bosses who should be running a company who said, I've spent all day, with our emergency disaster planning people, making sure everyone is safe. So far, we haven't seen a big tech company push back, say, a launch. Apple's not due to have new iPhones for another 6 months-ish, but it does feel a little inevitable. And look, they're already canceling conferences and such.
So I guess the big question, obviously, is what does the rest of the country have to learn from these big tech hubs, Seattle, San Francisco, even now in New York? What do they tell us about how we should be prepared?
So the first thing is a number of the executives told us, be prepared for there to just be less work done. Be prepared for people to spend a few hours trying to figure this out, being able to, ignore the fact that someone might have messaged them instead of walked over to their desk. So they say, let's lower the standards for a second. I actually spoke to a company who said, we sent out a note to our employees saying, we understand that your kids may be around. We understand you might not be able to get a babysitter, and that's okay. The other lesson to learn, I think, is to start practicing now how you would actually do your job from home. A lot of the employees, they've never had to even just work from a laptop. You're used to sitting at it with four screens.
That's so crazy. I mean, it's so crazy because you think that you kind of have this idea that obviously tech companies are going to be the best prepared for this. And yet, you're right. They're working on four screens, they're working on big mainframe computers.
Exactly. And a company like Google or Apple, they have a ton of contractors, these full-time but yet temporary employees. And those employees have different bosses. They may be hearing different things. A really nice thing, and as reporters, we're often critical of the companies we cover, but let's give credit where credit is due. The big tech companies very quickly said, we're going to pay all of our temporary contractors. If you work in our cafeteria, even if you don't work for Google, we're going to make sure that you get paid your hourly wage, even though you're staying home.
Excellent. All right. So be prepared, test it out, and we'll keep on this story. Rob Copeland, thank you so much for joining us.
Stay safe.
All right. So we told you before, we'll tell you again, our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, is ready to help you with your work from home tech questions. Do you have a question for Joanna? Email her at joanna.stern@wsj.com. That's Joanna with two N's, joanna.stern@wsj.com. Or you can call us on the phone number that we left for you in the description to this podcast. Leave us a message. That was your tech news briefing for today, our work from home edition. Number one of probably many. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.